Welcome to The Local Take with Kiplin Primus on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. This weekly public affairs program features dialogue and community engagement with leaders and organizations making a difference in the areas we serve.
This week, The Local Take interviews the Young African Leadership Initiative Fellows. This competitive program, which began under the Obama administration, brings highly qualified leaders from throughout the continent of Africa to the USA for an intensive training and educational program. The School of Business at Clark Atlanta University has been part of this program since its inception in 2004. Each year, I speak with a few of the participants about their countries, their business, and their understanding of our country. This week, listen to my conversation with Corinne Hansu of Benin, a French-speaking nation where her company, Viva Black, promotes African beauty with products made specifically for our skin and hair. I also speak with Nana Prempe from Ghana, who has launched three financial tech concerns, from managing digital payments to collecting church dues. This is the first in a series of conversations with the 2019 Clark Atlanta School of Business YALI Fellows. I am joined in the studio by Corinne Hansu, who is from Benin, and her company is Viva Black. Yes. Corinne, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
I am so happy to have you here. But first, I want to ask you about the YALI program, the Young African Leadership Initiative Fellowship Program. Why did you decide to become a part of this program? And what is it that you're expecting to get from being a part of it?
All right. So I actually applied the first year the program was launched, because I realized that it was a program that is very competitive, and only the one that have, you know, are good can be accepted to this program. So it was a way for me to show myself that I was capable of doing it, and also that I have the what it takes, you know, to take part of this program. So my expectation from by coming here, you know, I actually started business a few years ago, and I was expecting, I didn't want to start a business that would die. So deep inside me, I knew that I wanted to learn all I needed to know to be able to sustain my business, for it to be passed to my children and my children's children. So I'm here actually to learn best practices in terms of business and leadership, to take my company to the next level, and also to give a new face to my country and to my continent.
So now, you mentioned applying in the first year. Yes. And not being accepted. Were you very disappointed? And what made you decide to try again?
So, yeah, of course, I was disappointed. But one of my mentors, because I have many people that advise me, told me, Corinne, you need to prepare. You need to calm down and prepare. To be able to be selected for this kind of program, you need to have a track record showing what you do for your community, what you are working on. So I decided, I think it was into 2015, I didn't apply, 2016, 2017, and 2018, I didn't apply. So this year for me was the year of, you know, taking part to the YALI. So it took me, can you imagine, an hour to apply, because I was so busy at work, and there was something pushing me, do it. At least, even if you're not selected, you know that you applied. So I was like, okay, let me do it. And I did it in 1 hour. And sure enough, I'm here, because I took the time to prepare myself and to be ready and have a solid application.
I think that is wonderful. And it shows a lot of fortitude and persistence, yeah, which every entrepreneur needs to have. So now, they don't talk about Benin a lot in the United States. We don't know much about your country. What do you think folks need to know about Benin? And what is the one thing about your country that maybe only Corinne can tell us?
All right. I don't know about the one thing that I can tell you, but I can say that Benin is a beautiful country. Benin is a peaceful country. So we are located in between Nigeria and Togo. So you see Nigeria, you see Benin, Togo, and Ghana. So a very peaceful country. And Benin has royal palaces located in the kingdom of Dahomey. Okay, so we have the Python's temple in Ouidah. So we have one of the biggest markets of West Africa that is called Dantokba. So to the north of Benin, we also have the Penjari Park that you can go and have safaris with hippos and lions. And also one thing that I'm not sure people know about Benin is that Benin is the most fertile soil after the Nile River Valley. So anybody interested in agriculture can come there to Benin because our soil is very fertile.
And so what are some of the agricultural products that come out of this very fertile environment?
All right. So we have a lot of fruits, pineapples, mangoes are sweet. In Benin, you will taste the sweetest pineapple of your life. So for that time, I invite you there. So we have tomatoes, a lot of fruit actually, and vegetables.
And I would guess a good growing period, too.
Yes.
That is mm-hmm. wonderful. Now, what made you pursue this career in cosmetology? And you mentioned having a business before. Why did you think beauty and cosmetology was a stable platform for you to build your brand?
All right. So I actually have a background in banking. So I have a degree in banking. I worked for many years at different companies, but you know, it was so hard for me to get that contract. You know, we have a lot of young that are out of school and are fighting to get a place. So at a point of time, I was not feeling comfortable in that environment of hard competition, people trying to pull each other down. And a voice kept coming in my mind telling me, Corinne, you need to do more. I need to achieve more in my life. So what can I do? Okay, so what if I explore the field of entrepreneurship? And then the thought came, I was like, I don't want to go into business and fail. So how do I learn how to do business? And will I say by chance or luckily, I met someone that became a teacher for me. He's a successful entrepreneur from Canada. And he was, you know, settling down in Benin and created a school. So I applied for his business school. I got selected. All the program was in English. For 3 years, I left working. I left, earning
money.
Your 9-to-5
job.
Exactly. And I did the courses with him. I learned on leadership principles, on business principles. And that really transformed me because I was very shy. And now you say, bullied at school, depressed young girl with a hindrance. So I felt, you know, undervalued beside my peers, but that person really helped me to believe in myself and become a new person. Then we had to present our project at the end of my training. At first, I wanted to do a daycare because it's been at least 15 to 20 years that I'm dreaming of having a daycare because I love children. Anyway, I went and I saw maybe an empty, you know, house. I was telling my dad, Daddy, yo, we can do the daycare here, blah, blah, blah. And my dad always kept telling me, you have big dreams, you know, you dream too big, this, we cannot do this now. So I applied, I presented the daycare business. I already had the accreditation to do it without even having the education to do it. And then my mentor asked me, he was like, Corinne, do you want to be a world-class leader? If you want to be a world-class leader, you need to get into a product business, a business that will help you, you know, once you define the right formula to just, you know,
repeat
it and sell it all over the world. A daycare, people are giving you, putting their children's life in your hands. How many daycares do you think you can have? And that's when the thought came. I have the gift of braiding and making, you know, skincare and hair care at home. So, and I saw the trend going on the market, on the international market, on the US market, and in my country, I was going back to natural too. And I'm like, okay, how can I transform that gift into a source of revenue? That's what led me to Viva Black. I presented that business, and I developed a strong passion for it, serving people, helping other women being beautiful. Because I remember that I was down, I was somewhere, and rediscovering who I was really changed my life and made me this confident woman you are seeing sitting in front of you. So I wanted to help serve other women to do that transition back to natural through my company.
So now Viva Black is such a strong, wonderful name.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you were already making these solutions, these
yes.
magic potions, so mm-hmm. to speak, for skin.
Yeah.
And when you went natural, you started making them for your hair.
Yes.
So you've started the natural movement in Benin, Corinne? Is that
I will not say I started the natural movement in Benin. The natural movement in Benin was existing before I decided to get into join.
Okay.
But I can say I'm an active part of the movement now, and I'm working every single day, you know, for people around the world to know that, yes, we can have companies in Africa that meet the international market standards. And that's what I'm working to develop, a better quality customer care service, really serve, because it's not about me. It's not only about making money, but it's about serving people.
And that makes all the difference in the world, and even how you approach what you're doing. You're trying to make women and young girls know that they can be beautiful.
Yes.
Just naturally, with
just
themselves.
Just natural, be beautiful, just natural, be themselves, and achieve more in life.
So now, Viva Black can be found on Facebook and Instagram. What do you want us to know about, a day in a life of Viva Black?
All right. So I wake up in the morning, get my daughters ready, take her to the daycare, go to Viva Black, and have a morning meeting every day with my employees. So what I do is I hire young girls that are like disadvantaged young girls that don't even speak French, never attended school, but they got the training, the braiding training. So I have a hair salon. I hire them and I train them, teach them how to read and write. Even when they come at the beginning, they feel very shy. And during the meetings, I'm always repeating to them, like, what's your point of view? What are the problems you're having today? How can we solve those problems? What are our goals for the day? How can we solve it? And most of them, you know, feel very shy and uncomfortable because they were never given a voice. And I always remind them, you know, you are here because you have a voice. So I don't want to be in a meeting with you where you don't tell me what you have at the bottom of your heart. So feel confident with me. I'm your sister. Open up and let us make this, you know, country better. You know, so after the morning meeting, what we do, we organize the day. They do a little training, hairstyling training on the internet. So we follow different pages on Instagram and on YouTube. So we train ourselves, and then when we receive the customers, I work on the business while they are working in the business. So I'm always looking for ways for me to improve the company, to give more visibility to the company, and to attract investors in the company.
Well, I am excited, Miss mm-hmm. Hon Su, Corinne, about Viva Black, and I wish you much success.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And talking with us. Viva Black.
Viva Black. I dream of the day where thousands of women will be marching in the city, wearing t-shirts, rocking their fros, and screaming, Viva Black, Viva Black. And that day will surely come.
I want to join that parade.
Yes, thank you.
We've just heard from Corinne Hon Su of Benin. Up next is my conversation with Nana Prempa, a financial tech entrepreneur from Ghana. We are joined in the studio this morning by Nana Ajinman Prempa.
Exactly.
Okay, I said it right, but from now on it's Nana.
Yes, that's
good. Nana is from Ghana, and he has three companies in the finance tech arena. And Nana, before we get into it, tell me what it was like for you to apply for the YALI program. We know this is an exceptionally competitive program. Why did you want to apply, and what did you want to get out of this opportunity?
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm very excited to be here. Concerning the YALI program, I'd actually been following it for a while, and I realized the immense transformation that had come into the people I knew who had been part of the program that shaped them into great leaders. And as an upcoming leader in my country and entrepreneur, I knew there was a need to really experience the amazing training that was given to these friends of mine and get the kind of experience they had gotten in impacting their society. So for me, it was really an opportunity to really learn and improve my leadership skills and basically to impact my community more, especially considering the fact that I'd been given certain awards like Forbes 30 and the 30, 2016 and so on. I just thought it was important to develop my leadership skills and, you know, transform my community deeper.
So even after those other, you know, wonderful honors for a young entrepreneur on the continent, you still felt that the YALI program was going to give you a broader platform, a larger platform. What did you think that was going to add to your other accomplishments?
Yeah, so first of all was the opportunity to network with a lot of Africans on the continent. Africa is the next frontier, and to be a global leader means you have to be connected with people across the continent. To put it in perspective, I expanded my business to Nigeria, to Kenya, and South Africa, three countries, and it was an amazing experience. But I realized that to be impactful in the next 20, 30 years on the African continent, you need to know people in almost every country in Africa because we have different cultures and different setups, and you need to understand the context within which people live to be able to bring the impact you want. So YALI was going to give, and the Mandela Washington Fellowship for that matter, was going to give the opportunity to connect with lots of African leaders, equally smart and intelligent and doing amazing things. I think that was one of the most profound things that really caught my attention. That's why I did apply. But the next thing was to really be in a university with such a strong Black heritage and to discover the amazing people who had changed and impacted our continent that came right from CAU, and to learn the kind of steps they took to bring that kind of impact. And I think that was one of the exciting things. I didn't know I was going to be in CAU, but I had a very strong feeling that wherever university I was going to be in, I was going to learn amazing things and go back and take that kind of knowledge back home.
So that brings me right to our next question about Ghana. And we've already talked earlier with the Ndera group about the year of the return and the 400 years from 1619 to 2019. And there are lots of transplants or expats from the U.S. who are in Ghana. But what can Nana tell us about Ghana that we don't know, that only you could probably tell us, that no one knows about Ghana?
Yes, I want to piggyback from the year of return. I mean, it was an amazing campaign launched by our president, Nana Addo Dankwa. And I mean, for me, it's such a profound thing to do and a profound statement to say, even though 400 years ago, some of us went through the door of no return, now there's a door of return, an opportunity. And similar to the way the children of Israel came back to their land, I think there's a big opportunity for every Black American who wants to build something amazing and start on a very great note on a place where he or she is accepted and loved. It's a very outstanding opportunity. And once again, I have a friend called Mohameda. She taught me marketing back in Meltwater, and she actually relocated to Ghana. And she's doing so amazingly well because of the experience she has in the U.S. and understanding global markets. She's able to bring that kind of impact into Ghana. So it's a very great opportunity to have such door of return after 400 years. And one thing about Ghana that I think you may not read online is that Ghana is a great land of opportunities. It may not be explicit, except probably you've heard from Yofi Grant, who is one of our leading politicians who goes around talking about Ghana and opportunities. I think one of the greatest things is that Ghana has so much opportunity, both in any kind of industry you can think about, whether it's medical, it's technology, it's agricultural. Ghana is just at that point where it's about to launch out and do amazing things. So if you really have certain skill sets that you want to use and have a far-reaching impact, Ghana is a place you want to go. Secondly, maybe you may not know that Ghana was the first African country to have its independence. And as a result of that seed sold by Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, a lot of African countries began to fight for independence and unleashed the continent from colonial rule. So if we let that development in Africa, Ghana is also taking the lead in breaking and freeing African continent and giving us the ability to be economically independent. Just last week, Ghana won the bid to be have the headquarters of the free African trade, which allows African countries to trade among themselves, and the headquarters is going to be in Ghana. And one other thing is that most head office of large companies like ENI and so on have their headquarters in Ghana. And with Ghana, you can connect to almost any West African country and actually South and Eastern African country. So Ghana is such an amazing place. It's just about to launch out like a rocket. And I think if you want to do something amazing, Ghana is a place to go to.
I am so excited because I am heading to Ghana later this year. I am so excited to hear that. So why did you pursue a career in tech? And I want you to tell us about the three companies, you know, that your company that you've launched. But more than that, you are in this niche in the technology industry for finance. So why tech? And then why did you choose this, you know, kind of narrow slither? You know, it's not data management. It's not technology and around healthcare. It's finance.
Yeah. So just before I tell you about how I got into tech, I have to give you context. My background is actually agric engineering for my bachelor's, and for my master's is machine systems design, agriculture and engineering. So whilst I was doing my master's in agric engineering, I remember asking my lecturer, what's the future of agric engineering? Are we going to still manufacture tractors and that's going to be it? How's technology going to play in? Because I knew computers were really the things that are going to shape the world. And I didn't get the kind of answers I was looking for. I didn't get the depth to which I wanted to, you know, discover. So whilst in university, I came across Meltwater Entrepreneurial School of Technology, founded by a Norwegian millionaire who runs Meltwater. And I got into a 2-year software and entrepreneurship training program whilst I was doing my MPhil in agric engineering. So that's when I really got deeply immersed into technology and the power that it had. And when I discovered facts like Facebook makes more money than my country, Ghana, I was like, hey, I think technology has an ability to transform continents. And I saw how it could directly affect specific things in my country. And to the question about why I built companies which had specific focus, and I'll talk about the company shortly, I realized that technology is basically like a tool. Think about fire. Fire is like a tool that can be used to create, destroy, make, shape, and design things. And that's how I look at technology. So if you have fire, you could melt gold into a nice jewelry, or you could use fire basically in an engine through a combustion engine to move a vehicle. And I could see specific things that I could relate to in my country, specifically about payments. A lot of businesses provide a lot of services in and out of Ghana, and it's very difficult to receive payments either through a bank wire, which tends to be expensive and takes a long time, or sometimes people literally give money to others to bring to them. And if you want to do a typical Western Union, which is quite laborious, you have to go to the bank, stand in the queue, and so on and so forth. And I could feel these challenges. So my company and my co-founders and I began to build a payment platform that allowed you to receive payments from anywhere in the world directly into your bank account, and you didn't have to move. And that was something I could feel the pain. The next was Asoriba, which was a church CRM. I'm a young pastor in my father's church, and I grew up in the church, and I knew the impact of the church. For a few statistics, half a billion Africans are Christians, so half the continent are Christians. The church plays the role of many failed state institutions, building the schools, the hospital, taking care of the homeless. So the church kind of like has a very big positive impact in our community. However, they don't have the technology and the tools to help them to effectively run, manage data and resources. And having felt that pain firsthand, my co-founders and I built Asoriba, which is simply a CRM that allows churches to organize and effectively run the entire administration processes, and a tool that allows them to receive donations from members, including members who are in the diaspora, receive donations, tithes, and offerings to go back into their community and do the kind of great things they are doing. So once again, this is something I could experience. So we built Asoriba. And the final one, which is Grow For Me Africa, is a baby, and I'm so in love with that business, because if you look at the statistics, we are going to have a doubling of our population on the continent. The things that will be fought over will be food and water. And if we don't begin to make provisions for the next generation and meet the needs and feed the stomachs of the many young people now, we're going to be in big trouble. So Grow For Me is really a long-term business that is designed to allow people, anybody who has interest in agriculture, to farm in Ghana by simply going on our website and picking a crop he wants to grow, looking at the number of acres he wants to do, and the returns on the amount of money he would put in. Let's say you're doing $500 for an acre of pineapple and making a profit of about $200 after it's grown over 9 months and harvested. So it's a very long-term project that is designed to really prevent food shortage and hunger. And it's amazing how we are combining technology and agriculture. And once again, it's based on my experience in taking agricultural engineering as my master's and my bachelor's.
Nana from Ghana, this is wonderful. And your companies are mybusinesspay.com, growformeafrica.com, and Asoriba, ASORIBA.com. I want to thank you so much for sharing this information with us today. And I don't even need to wish you success because you're having so much success. And hey, I think there's some churches in the U.S. that might be able to take advantage.
I believe so. And I really think there's an opportunity. And I'm looking for partners who would like to expand our businesses here and grow our business here.
I'm sure you're going to find them. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. It's been a pleasure speaking to you this morning. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Take care.
The Local Take with Kiplin Primus on Jazz 91.9 WCLK is produced by Kiplin Primus, Jami Wellman, and Rob Maynard for WCLK. If you have comments about today's program or suggestions for future programs, you can leave a voicemail at 404-880-6211 or email kiplinprimus@gmail.com. You can listen to these interviews on demand at wclk.com or via the WCLK app. Thanks for listening.